It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Haifman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haifman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Oh, boy.
So many guys not let off the hook here this week. But one guy's off. He always wiggles off the hook. He's never on the hook, man, is he? There's no hook near Aaron Rodgers ever.
I don't know. I'm so sick of that guy, dude.
There's so many people like... talk. Isn't that what he's all about? He just wants people to talk about him.
It's hilarious because he always claims he doesn't want anybody to talk about him, yet he still is always saying dumb crap to make everybody talk about him. And it just got worse with the whole McAfee thing. It's funny, you hear people, like different reporters, and on Tuesday they were like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers goes to McAfee and he tells everybody everything, and then on Wednesday you'll see him standing in front of his locker explaining what he talked about to McAfee on Wednesday to the reporters. But they'll just give him softballs like, what did you mean when you said that? It was just, you were just, people are thinking you meant this, but that's insane, right? That's crazy. Just tell us how you didn't mean that, right? And then he'll just walk back and not say anything. And I don't know. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of hearing him. Just play better and win. I mean, you're making the most money in the history of the NFL. You're the highest paid player, and you're playing like the crappiest guy in the world. I mean, compared to what you're used to. Your standard should be high. Well, and he's not playing like a guy who's making that much money, and his standard is that high, and it needs to change.
Well, when he threw criticism at everybody, coaches and everybody under the bus, all the other players and yada, yada, yada. And then went on McAfee's thing and said how, you know, guys who are making all these mistakes, put a percentage on it, 20%. They're making 20% of the plays. Guys are making mistakes. And then said how, you know, guys got to be, we got to look at getting some other guys in there. Those guys who are making mistakes, get out and let's try some new guys. And I mean, if that's not a direct shot in public, number one, at a bunch of guys. Oh, but I didn't name anybody. I didn't name them. Is that a problem? But
so Matt LaFleur said he didn't name anybody.
He also did too. At his locker, he has had to say how.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I had to stomach some of that from his locker just to pick out a couple of clips for tonight. But
did you get the first question that was asked him?
I got a couple things. I got a couple things there.
How his former buddy TJ Lang kind of called him out.
His shocking
face.
I know we don't get
to on the radio.
Yeah.
Guess who's on his poop list now? Is that going to be his buddy? Is he shutting him off now?
But you know, John Kuhn was all defending him on Twitter rants and against Peter Bukowski, this other, you know, Packer, whatever, one of the guys things, and that guy doesn't necessarily know too much. But John Kuhn was like, at the defense of Aaron Rodgers, hardcore there. Yeah, so, okay. Fan favorite, John Kuhn. But again, he's kind of a Packer. Like, he works for the Packers. He's got to defend all things Packers. And they also understand Rodgers is their, you know, he's the cash cow. And he's their, I mean, he's the guy they put all their cash in. So if all of a sudden he falls completely out of favor with everybody, that's a bit of a problem from a business standpoint. So, you know, we got to be careful about that. So anyway, who knows all the motivations of one John Kuhn? I'm sure they were good teammates and friends back in the day. Who knows how it all goes now? And Aaron Rodgers can be a nice guy. It's just to a lot of people, right? He comes up and nice guy, handshake, and does nice things, take pictures with kids and all this. It's just that he cycles around and just talks in circles, contradicts himself in the same press conference or from week to week. Shows to be that he's a hypocrite and is just basically all about self-preservation. However, you know, people have a hard time tracking that. What happens is you hear a bit of information or a stance that you want to hear, and then And then you remember that. And then you're like, yes, that's what I believe. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's why I like the guy. Or that's why I can still be a fan of him. Because, see, he took that nice picture with Greg Olsen's kid, or he said something nice to this other guy, or, you know, whatever. And that's what happens with people in psychology. And that's why people that talk in opportunities like that and get in positions like that where they're going to get criticized, they talk in these circles. Because eventually, as you get around the circle, one of those points of the circle is going to resonate with people, and then they can remember that little point, and then that's why they're still your fan, I think.
Well, I hate him, so it doesn't matter what he says. Just freaking play better, you dingus.
Right. And that's Listen, that's the whole point. Let's get down to football and play better.
Yeah. I'm so sick of hearing him talk. I just want to see him play. Play like you did, you know, in 2010, 2011, 2012, when you were good. Okay. Now, did he have a lot better players around him? Yes. There's a picture circulating that has all the, you know, with Double D and Jennings and Jordy and Joe, James, Joan and Finley and Cobb. And like, yeah, okay. Was that an awesome, star-studded, super killer group of receivers? Yes. Does he have that? No. But you're paid to make the guys around you better.
Good point.
Period. You're paid to make them better.
Yeah.
Whatever. I hate it.
Evan, could we let's play? Ben just said how he doesn't want to hear any of this stuff, but we got to hear it because I talked to William today, one of our callers who calls in, one of the guys who's a faithful listener, and he said you gotta play it, you gotta expose it, you gotta remind the people.
All right,
so
let's hear it.
It's part of our job. So Evan, let's play some cuts. We get to hear from what Aaron Rodgers said. And this was some of the contradictory statements from week to week. And sometimes this happens from minute to minute with him. But here, let's hear in cut one what Aaron Rodgers said a week ago before he made these other comments this past week.
I think it'll be interesting to look at the comments from all of our guys and coaches. And hopefully we stick together. That's the important thing.
Okay. And play cut two, please.
We got to watch our language and the kind of energy that we're manifesting. A little tick.
Oh, sure. Well, so that is what he said. I that's not me doing my incredible Aaron Rodgers impression. That is Aaron Rodgers, words from his mouth, talking about sticking together, talking about interesting to hear the comments from the players and coaches. You know, just important that we're, you know, we get manifesting that right energy. And then a week later, he said stuff like this. Number three, please.
So no,
I'm sorry if I gave you what did I give you. It's the
well,
one
so
after the
like
the tick.
Maybe just sure. I'm just gonna we're gonna go like a sequential order, right?
Here you we can go. Play any of them because they're all bad. But go ahead.
No, we're gonna do this sequentially like you wanted to. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Aaron, TJ Lang had a comment after what you said about guys who are making too many mistakes shouldn't play. He said he doesn't think that'll help young players gain any confidence. You obviously have an intention with everything you say. What was the thinking behind phrasing it like that, and what are your thoughts on his response to that?
Should be accountability. There's accountability for all of us.
I mean, you heard what he said. Like, okay, after the post game, Ben and I can summarize because I didn't grab that sound because everybody's heard it already, hopefully. But the point was he threw the coaches under the bus. We already talked about that to other players, criticizing all these guys out the field. Then he says, Ben, he says there should be accountability for all of us. Is that true?
No, he thinks there should be accountability for everyone but him. But him. That's what he's saying. Because nobody can question him because he's the highest paid guy on the team. And like I've said a million times, there's no owner. He makes way more than Matt LaFleur makes. What is he going to tell him? What's Matt LaFleur going to do? He can't stand up to him. Rodgers makes like 10 times as much as he makes. And Goody and everybody else. Like, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing they can do. So he's in charge. He's the guy who said we can't break rank. And you know why he said that? Because he's the highest rank. He could say whatever the crap he wants. So nobody else say jack squat. Nobody, everybody else stick together, and I'll rip the crap out of everybody and take no blame.
Isn't his middle name Charles?
I don't care what it is.
Isn't
it
Aaron Charles Roger? So he could technically be Charles in charge right now. Anyway, Evan, could we get another play here of I can't remember. Did I line up Matt LaFleur next to hear what he said?
Yeah, yeah.
Just play it.
Okay, let's hear what Matt LaFleur said. Let's hear Matt LaFleur.
All right, hold on one sec.
Yeah, just, no problem.
Let's see. Man, I'm having a hard time grabbing these today. I got it right here.
You know, I did this to you. It was all towards the end of the show. My apologies, audience. I was my mistake. I should have got things to Evan much earlier. It was my bad.
Here we go. We got some Matt LaFleur, y'all.
You know, we got to play better. No doubt about it. I mean, just the little details. You know, we had illegal formations, covering guys up, two men in motion at the same time. The fundamentals of playing with your hands inside. We got called for a couple holdings. So it's just all those little things. We had drop balls. It's just all that stuff adds up. It's all the little details. And when you don't go out there and play with great fundamentals and do all the little things right, it's hard to win a game in this league.
So, okay. So we just called out holding penalties, bad formations, offensive line. We called out, you know, when you don't do all the fundamentals. We called out everybody else, but nothing about bad throws, nothing about bad decisions, nothing about bad reads. So does it sound, based on what Aaron Rodgers said and what Matt LaFleur said, is there any accountability here?
Not for 12,
guys. I'm just sharing we're just sharing the info with you directly from the horse's mouth. And this is what you get. This is what you get. When you create a monster, you give him all the money, and he's untouchable, right?
And you think we would have learned from this? We had this same crack 15 years ago. Not crack, crap.
The cycle.
With Favre. But the difference was, McCarthy stood up to him because he was falling apart, and they said, "Are you gonna do what needs to be done to win?" And he didn't hear the answer he needed, right?
Yep.
They should have asked Rodgers that. And Rodgers would have been like, well, I'm going to take a 6-month vacation. And then Goody and LaFleur should have said, well, that's not what we need to do to win.
More when we come back. We'll be back. Doesn't a song just make you want to play some football, Ben? Maybe they should play songs like this before games for these Packers. They seem to be kind of lifeless.
I gotta do something real quick, because we didn't get to hear it at the end of the last one. This is directed to Rodgers. Hate everything about you. Okay, back to you.
So if you can see Evan in the little screen down below when he's given like these sideways cues, that's seconds. That's like 30 seconds, 40 seconds, 20 seconds. So just a heads up for you.
I see double radio 92.7.
Oh, okay.
And that's okay, man. That's okay. I'm the floating head.
Yeah, we'll bring him
back. You know, that makes the show go, the magician behind the curtain.
Yeah. He doesn't like to be seen. He doesn't like to be exposed. Neither is Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we had that one episode that was offensive lineman exposed. That was one of our better. We got a lot of ticks on that. A lot of folks showed up to see that, especially Mo. He liked that one.
I know. I titled it, Evan. I literally titled this episode "Offensive Lineman Exposed," and we got lots of hits. Yeah.
Not sure why, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Usually, when I talk about offensive linemen, people tune out. But that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Well, a lot of weirdos out there.
Most important spot on the field, and the line was looking a little better this week. Packers shifted it around, made crazy changes, right, Ben? Like shuffle, shuffle, everybody's changing, and then Bakhtiari's out at the last minute and with the, you know, after the big shakeup. And Zach Tom, what about him? Rookie stepped in, did some pretty good.
Zach Tom's like Aaron Jones with the Mike McCarthy, where everybody knows he's good. And the fans are screaming for him for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then they put him in there and he does pretty dang well. And everybody's like, yeah, no duh. Like, why didn't we do this weeks ago when you had stinking, you know, I mean, I don't want to bag on Royce Newman, but he sucked. And Tom's doing great out there. And he didn't even know he was going to play. They just threw him out there and he did great. So,
yeah, he found out just before the game or just earlier that day, just like everybody else.
Let's keep him on the field, please. Keep him on the field.
I guess that's the big question, lingering question is, once again, is Bakhtiari going to be available, and is he ever available? Like,
who cares? I mean,
it's going on forever. How can you plan on him at this point? You can't. You got to make alternative plans, even though you got, you know, gave him a whole bunch of money. And I get he's great at chugging beers. He's healthy enough to chug beers at Bucks games, so maybe he'll get back to doing that pretty soon. But, you know, I don't know. That's kind of where we're at.
I ain't worried about him. I'm worried about playing sound from Evan here, because I think we got a shorter segment we got to get through, don't we?
We do. Let's go. All right, let's get through our last couple of cuts.
Roll it up.
Let's move on. Sorry.
We need to,
next,
you know, be able to be coachable, all of us.
Coachable, all of us.
Hey, from Aaron Rodgers' mouth.
Oh, I like to hear that.
Well, does it sound, based on like how he's playing and what he's doing, he is being coachable at the moment or this season? Or
I don't know. He's saying he should, all of us, so that includes him. That's good. I mean, that's a positive thing. Does he believe it, that he's part of the all of us? I don't think he believes that, but that's fine. That's good. I mean, see, that gives the people that, you know, now they can be like, he's taking blame, taking ownership. He's taking. Yeah. Okay.
It's the all circle.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the circle. Evan, if you can clip another one, I know you just picked up a call. My bad there. Evan, if you can play the next one here, we're going to get through the rest of these cuts this segment. So if you want to,
I've tried a lot of different things from a leadership standpoint this year.
He's tried a lot of different things from a leadership standpoint this year, Ben. That's what he said.
Yeah, he got his leadership. I think he means haircut. He tried a lot of different haircuts. So he thinks leadership is haircuts, I think. I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. But because I haven't seen much other than what he usually does, which is mope and cry and stand there on the sideline and do nothing.
Yell at guys.
He does. Well, he yells at them on the field. But on the sidelines, he just sits there.
Right.
Does he get with the guys? And like, have you ever seen a cut shot of Rodgers standing next to a guy who's not his buddy talking to him in between plays?
No.
Is he working with these guys and be like, hey, listen, when we get back out to this time, I need you. Like, I could tell they're doing, like, remember he always talked to Devontae and he talked to this guy. I mean, even Alan Lazard usually he talked to. I don't know. Is he what? I don't think so.
I don't know what to say. Let's play. We got one more. Let's get out of the way. And then we got Raider Rick hanging in the wings, but we'll get to him next segment.
If one of those guys has a problem with it, I'm right here. But nobody's come to me and said, I got a problem with what you said.
A little tick.
So, I mean, look, you're the $50 million man who's been playing for 18 years. You're the first ballot Hall of Famer. You're a rookie wide receiver on this freaking team who's been getting crap all this whole time, including called out by him early in the camp when he, oh, well, not early in camp, but when he showed up for a while in camp and stuff like that. And you're just going to go up to him? Like, come on. Come on.
You know, I bet you they'd probably feel a lot more comfortable going up to him if he was there all offseason working with him. Or even maybe even working with him on off days or outside of practice. Because let's face it, the practice time and the time that the players are required to be in the facility and work on things has gotten so small that the outside work needs to be done. And he was also asked about that. Years ago, he used to work with JerMichael Finley on Saturdays, and they asked him, are you working with these guys on Saturdays? And he was like, well, I mean, yeah, we've got, you know, together and
send
stuff.
A text.
Yeah, but I mean, if they need that, then yeah, we can do that. I'm like, how about if you've been doing it this whole time? It's a bunch of guys you never worked with before, except for Alan Lazard. And now he's out. So guess what? It's a whole bunch of guys that you never worked with before. I hope you spent some time working with him a little bit this week. But he didn't practice Wednesday with the team. He had light practice Thursday and light practice today. Jordan Love's been working with the team. Say this. This is a perfect opportunity for Jordan Love to work with these guys and have them to feel comfortable with him. And if he ever gets a shot this season, Maybe he'll look pretty good because he'll work with these, like Danny Etling. We were at practice in the summer, and Danny Etling was working with Samari Toure and another guy, just working with him and working with him and working with him to try it so they can make the team and work harder and do all they could after practice. We watched it happen.
We'll see what comes of it. We got to hit another break here on the Pooh Show.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that's leadership.
Leadership is leadership. We'll find out more. Three catches for 111 yards? Why do you need anybody else?
I don't know. And then we have our team. We can't even field a wide receiver.
Here we go. We're back here. We were chatting with some people on YouTube a little bit, having some conversations with Zero and also Lee. And we got some of our, well, first of all, our good friend. What happened? I think
Zero's comments. Listen, we're also live on YouTube. Anybody listening on the radio, and one of our guys, Zero, who is the most, Aaron Rodgers. He talks crap about the Packers constantly. Whoa. And he said something, the most thing I've ever seen.
Save it. That's for fourth segment.
Yeah, we're saving it, Zero. So hang on, buddy.
We're going to the phones because we've said enough for now. Let's bring in Raider Rick, who is happy about his Raiders at least. While the Packers are floundering, the Raiders seem to be showing a little bit of sign of life. Raider Rick, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I was going to say, the Raiders seem like they have a pulse. The offense seems to be getting on track a little bit. The defense is showing up. So maybe there's hope for the Packers too. I wanted to call in. You guys kind of scooped me in that last segment. So I was going to ask, what are you thinking about? Clearly, Rodgers can't be counted on at this point to provide any sort of positive leadership for the team. I think there's definitely an influence pushing them, a lot of just sit back and let things come to them, take what happens, show up, and you guys are going to win. That doesn't cut it. Is there anyone, you guys think there's anyone who might step up and take on the role, at least as the emotional leader of this team, get them fired up, get them to bounce back after a big play, a bad play? Who would you guys like to see step up in that role? Is there anyone on the team? What do you guys think?
Well, Ben talked about it the other night.
Wait, here's the thing, Rick. That's for next segment, but my guy
okay,
for that.
Okay,
but
okay,
I will say this. I would like to see Rasul Douglas.
Yep.
I think I did not know this. Apparently, the last series on defense, Eric Stokes was not on the field.
Oh, he wasn't out there?
No. I guess I didn't recognize. I was watching the film. I didn't even know. Rasul Douglas was out there in the base defense trying to stop the run because they were ahead. Washington was ahead, so they were running the ball. And Stokes was out and Douglas was in.
Thank you.
So if they're smart, they'll do that forever now.
Mm-hmm.
And Douglas, if he's a starter with the base defense, maybe now he can galvanize the guys and get going. That's the guy who I want to see, take control and be the leader of the defense. Okay. Because everybody else is soft spoken. And Rasul is able to make plays. He gets his hands in there, missed a couple picks, but that one was a kick, awesome break on the ball. And I just need him to stand up and be as vocal with the guys as he is as impact player on the field. Let's make impact off the field or vocally with everybody. On offense, I don't know who it could be. I have no clue.
Before we go to offense, let's talk about that. Rasul Douglas's play last week. 10 tackles from a corner who isn't even on the field all the time. 10 tackles and 3 pass breakups from one guy in one game. That's way more impactful than number 23 or definitely number 21. So, and even the safeties. So, yes, they need him. Devondre Campbell is too soft-spoken and too quiet. Quay Walker's a rookie. Like, Kenny Clark is too quiet. Like, nobody. No, there's nobody with clout that can grab. Amos is too quiet. There's nobody with clout and fire, and he's got to do it. He's got to be that guy. And they need him on the field all the time. We talked about that. Eric Stokes needs to get off the field 100%. He probably actually shouldn't even be the third corner. He should be, like you said before, he should be the fourth corner. Let's get guys in there that are more aggressive. The other change, and the defense can set the tone for the team then. And maybe that's how you do it. You set the tone with the defensive guys showing more fire, but also the way they play, aggressive play. And what does that also mean? That means you need aggressive players on the field. And there's two that we've talked about, and they got a couple of spot opportunities, and they've shown some stuff. But for some reason, because they're, you know, somebody else is a first round pick and all this stuff, they're not on the field. Tell people who they are, man.
Well, it's Ford and Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah.
They're two tough guys on the special teams who attack. And that's what our defense needs. Guys who are willing to attack, not sit back and wait for things to happen. You know, and that's what you have when you have Stokes and Amos and Savage and Campbell and Jair. They're all passive players. But those guys attack. Are they wrong sometimes? Yeah. Is Rasul Douglas wrong sometimes? Yeah. But he makes so many more impact plays. That's the thing that's so crazy. It's like everybody loves Za'Darius Smith because he would make two awesome plays a game. But there's a bunch of other games, where other plays where he didn't do anything. And it's useless. I'd rather see a guy who, okay, he screwed up one time. Even Jair, I'll say this about Jair. I thought his coverage wasn't terrible. It's just those are some good passes. And, you know, I thought Jair did okay covering. But Terry McLaurin is really good. You know, but Stokes is terrible. Stokes was terrible. And Savage is terrible. I'd rather see Rudy Ford out there. And I'd rather see Nixon at nickelback and Stokes on the sideline until dime defense. Or maybe not even then. Bring Rudy Ford out for dime defense. Or actually, I don't know. Whatever.
As far as the offense goes, there's nobody that identifiable that will speak up and be a rally of troops impactful guy. So here's what I'm calling for. The two quietest guys on the team, Yash and Zach Tom, speak up. And everybody will be, you'll get their attention. If those two guys say anything, they'll be like, holy, what? Come on.
No way.
Zach Tom and Yash.
There's no way.
I'm pulling for Zach Tom and Yash to be the leaders. Let's go.
You know what I think? You know,
Williams
I think
there
that,
too. So
okay, I was just gonna say, I think Jordan Love could do it. I think Jordan Love could be the leader. True. Maybe Jordan Love could do it. Show us some fire, Jordan Love. That's what I'd like to see. I know he's not on the field, but you know what? Go when the guys come off the field, when they're on the sidelines after the offense does something great, or if they do something bad, be there to pick up the other guys. Because it'll lay the groundwork for if he ever has to get in the game or when he is becomes the guy. It'll lay the groundwork with these guys to be a good leader and to be a good team. So I'm going to say Jordan Love needs to be the fire guy, which makes no sense because we got an 18-year veteran ahead of him. But I'm going to say Jordan Love.
Lee points out a great thing. And then let's pull. Thank you, Raider Rick, for the call. We love you, Raider Rick. Appreciate you. Go Raiders here as well. But Lee points it out. That's what happens when you draft all level-headed, tame guys, no fire starters except Rasul. And that's only because Green Bay was desperate and they picked him up. They got lucky with that one. So it's a great point, Lee. There's not when the Packers are always drafting these certain type of guys and they don't have any edge, then there's no fire. Like, guys can lead with their play, but you also got to have guys to get everybody charged up. Let's go to William here. He's been on the line too as well. William, appreciate you always calling in. What do you got for us tonight?
How you doing, fellas? Listen, what do you think? Obviously, on paper, a guy like Randall Cobb would be a great leader. He's been around the league. He's been around the Packers offense for years. Obviously, Rodgers fits that bill too, but Rodgers doesn't want to do it. I think Cobb's afraid to step up to Aaron because they're BFFs. How about big dog Mercedes Lewis? That's nearly 20 years of NFL experience right there. He's been around Green Bay for, what, 2, 3, 4 years now? Somebody's got to be the one to step up if it's clearly not going to be Aaron. And we can sit here and rag on Aaron all day. You guys have done a great job on that. One thing I want to touch on, too, was that he went out of his way to note that Tom Clements said it was his best graded performance of the year, which might be surprising to hear. Of course, Tom Clements got asked about this then, and he said the grade Sunday just happened to be a few percentage points higher. Rodgers is even throwing his BFFs like Clements and Cobb under the bus. It's insane.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to that. We'll go to your Mercedes thing in a second. But yeah, the fact that Rodgers blamed everybody else, didn't, you know, and even the week before when he was asked point blank whether he needs to play better and just said that, you know, what did he say, Evan? It was that little tick was the quote. I think it even got in Ben's brain. But the point is, you know, so he did all that and then plays this game and then criticizes everybody. And then goes out and says that, you know, oh, my best grade and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, he's looking at his numbers and, you know, he's prioritizing his numbers and not winning football games. 100%. Sorry, but that's just the straight up truth. And we only say truth on this show. So lastly, then you go to Mercedes Lewis for leadership. Potentially, he could be the only one, maybe, because
no way. No way.
But he doesn't have the he's got experience, but he's not impactful enough on the field. So
there's two reasons. And he's not even reasons.
He's not a fire guy. He's more of like a he'll say something to you in a moment, but he's not a fire guy, not a charger.
Well, I'm gonna bring it up when we do our next segment. But what I'm saying is this: Mercedes is a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great dude.
But he was forced to be a leader in this team because Aaron Rodgers isn't one.
Mm.
And guess what? Mercedes isn't really a leader either. He doesn't know how to rally the troops. He's a solid guy. I know inside the tight end room they love him. He's helped out Robert Tonyan and other guys become better players, and that makes him a great guy and a great teammate. But is he the type of guy who is, you know, an alpha dog who's going to stand there and get everybody going? He doesn't have the fire. He just doesn't. He might have the desperation, but he doesn't know how to communicate that. He's a very nice, cool, calm guy, which is what we have a lot of. Like you said with Lee's comment, a lot of cool, smart. We're not going to let anything bother us. Well, the problem is there comes a point where you have to start letting some things bother you and maybe light a fire under your butt or something. Like, we need a Mike Daniels. That's what we need. We need somebody like that to just start screaming and yelling. And, you know, and of course, Clay Matthews is like, dude, like there's that famous clip on the sidelines of him like, hey, save the energy for the field there, guy. You know, when back when Mike Daniels was there, he was like a second year. And Clay Matthews is like, hey, calm down. We got to save it for when we're out there. But Mike Daniels gets so heated, he couldn't control himself. Well, sometimes you need a guy like that. And maybe some other teammates the wrong way. But it might fire up the guys who are just this close to ready to make a play. And we don't have a guy who's fire.
I think the irony of that is, and you guys were talking about this with the defense almost plays like they don't have that fire in the sense that they would rather not be burned than potentially make the game-changing play. You see it a lot with, I'll use Trayvon Diggs as the example because he gets lambasted on Twitter every time he gets toasted. Maybe it's just getting in their head like, okay, just don't let myself get beat. Don't let myself get beat. But if you're doing that, you're never going to be the one to step in front of an awkward throw, take it back to the house, and, you know, potentially change a season with the kind of momentum that that can bring.
Yeah. And, William, we played clips last week, not on our radio show, but our midweek show from Jair Alexander. And it was, to me, they were disturbing. He was trying to be funny or whatever in one clip and talked about how don't expect me to be tackling guys like I did on this one play. But then the other comment that bothered me was he talked about his mindset in not trying to seek out turnovers. He's like, just let them come. We don't want to be overly aggressive hunting these turnovers. And I just thought, how you can't play that way. Defense is about being aggressive. The only way, if you play soft and worry about getting beat and just try to make sure it's, you know, they're not going to beat me deep the whole time and are cautious, the only way you win is if the other team screws it up, right? So you are relying on them to make mistakes in order for you to be successful. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you need to assert yourself. And defense is all about asserting yourself and trying to take something away and forcing a counterpunch if they're going to be successful. But you punch first.
And just go back and
so much of the time they don't play that way.
Think about Charles Woodson. There were times where he would just not run the play because he read it and he just made a play. He just went for it.
Yeah.
Right? And he made a play. And everybody else is like, holy crap, he just did something nuts. He just got a pick or he broke up a pass. Or that's why he was so good when he played the nickel. Right? Because he was in the middle of the field and he was able to do things. I thought Rasul would be that good. The problem is Rasul's not great in coverage in the nickel. He's not quite as good moving side to side. He's better when he's got that sideline to help him cover guys. So, and that's, you know, that's a shame. But still, he's still great at corner. But we just need a guy.
Yep. And we need Rasul on the field all the time to fire him up. William, thanks so much for your comment and questions and all that. You keep following the Packers. We will tell you in the final segment that hope is not all lost, but we get to wallow for just a little bit longer here in our doom for the Packers. Oh my God, the Buffalo Bills are coming up next in Buffalo. What are we gonna do? We might have a couple answers. We'll see. Catch us on the other side. Packer Outright Opinions here on Devil Radio, Civic Media. When you listen to this song, you can't be unhappy, right? It lifts you up, makes you feel good. It's funky beat. The I think it was the Badass Brass.
Yeah.
White Trash and the Badass
White Trash. I'm telling you, anybody who wants to listen to a great album, White Trash is White Trash. It is amazing. Funk, rock, to the fullest. The singer, not that great, but the band is killer. Super Evan, cool grooves. Amazing band.
Evan's listening to it after the show. He already said, hey, Evan, you can queue up Silent But Deadly. We're going to do that here in just a minute. So to give you a heads up on that. Before we get to that, we got to thank William. We got to thank Rick, Raider Rick. We got to thank Lee and Zero and everybody else that chimes in and brings something to our show. Apologize, we're a little bit a little loose tonight with the format. You know, sometimes we get that way. I was trying to line stuff up, but hey, that's the way this week went, so we're rocking it out. Now, we always celebrate players from the last game. Now, before we get to our Silent But Deadly Player of the Week, Ben, I'm going to give you, this is impromptu, next week we'll try to spice it up. I want one play from you that you enjoyed. We're going to call it the Vector, oh yeah, play. Give me a play that made you say, oh yeah, from this last game. Just one, Ben. There's got to be one.
Well, it's the Aaron Jones touchdown catch. And you might say, well, it's the Aaron Rodgers touchdown pass. Nah, that was an Aaron Jones touchdown catch. Amazing catch. Amazing guy. Amazing player. He just happened to get a pass from the guy I hate. Aaron Jones touchdown catch. Amazing.
The second one.
Not the first one. The second one. The really killer one where he jumped up over top of the guy's head and grabbed it and came down in the bounce.
Not the first one. My play was the interception by Devondre Campbell and return for touchdown, but it wasn't because of the I like the interception, but the part that made me go, oh yeah, was Rasul Douglas being so awesome on the play because he ran in front of a guy, and then as soon as he got close, he just put his hands up. Like, I'm not touching him. I'm not going to get a penalty. And then he ran around, and then he ran in front of a guy again. Hands up. See, I'm not touching him. No penalty. It's super funny. It made me laugh. It made me happy. It made me say, oh, yeah.
Also, Quay Walker's super speed on that. It's like, who are the two guys chasing down with him on that? Quay Walker and Rasul Douglas are two guys, the fire-up guys and the speedster rookie. So we have pieces to make this defense good. And we have to make sure we use those two guys in particular to help out everybody else. They're the fire.
All right, Evan, roll it. It is time. It is time.
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros Silent But Deadly Player of the Week.
That was not the once famous Keith Jackson broadcaster, famous broadcaster Keith Jackson. That was actually me. Ben, you have a Silent But Deadly Player of the Week. Who is it this week?
Okay, here's my Silent But Deadly Player of the Week. And it goes to answering Rick and William's calls. Both. After the game, after they lost, Matt LaFleur had the team huddle and Big Dog addressed the team. And apparently it was everybody calm down. We just need to execute, be smarter, do our stuff, saying the same thing over and over that they always say. And immediately, and I thought this was Monday when this happened. Apparently it was after this, after Big Dog's speech, which was everybody get better, nice, calm guy. Dallin Leavitt went nuts. Dallin Leavitt started being like, where's the accountability? Where's all this stuff? Why are we suck? What the heck's going on? He just lost his mind. And they asked him about it because Aaron Rodgers told everybody, Pat McAfee, what happened. Well, otherwise, nobody else knew. And they asked Dallin Leavitt, apparently, and I heard this on the radio earlier this week. And they said, was this a premeditated thing? Were you upset? Like, what happened? He's like, I just lost it. He's like, there comes a time, I was just spontaneous. I didn't know what else was going on. I just, after a while, we need to like have accountability. And that's what I'm saying. My Silent But Deadly Player is the guy who finally became silent. He couldn't control himself anymore. He tried to stay silent, And he was like, what kind of culture is this? Where we just sit back and go, everybody just do your details. Everybody, like, that's the Matt LaFleur.
We just got to execute better. We got to play better.
And then Dal Levitt's like, no, how about accountability? How about we do our jobs? How about we stop screwing up? And Dal Levitt is my silent but deadly, because maybe he, because he was unsilent, lit a fart on this team, and maybe they can get going.
Look,
former Raider, by the way, Raider.
That's right. He just joined the team this year to play special teams, and that's the guy that's got to fire him up and call him out and get accountability. Jeez, come on. But at least somebody's trying in there. Dal Levitt, bring it on. My guy, silent but deadly player this week, is Zach Tom. Zach Tom, silent but deadly player this week. You didn't hear jack squat from him. Guy didn't say a word. You didn't hear any penalties on him. You didn't hear any problems from him. The guy just got thrown in the game last minute and did pretty darn good. So Zach Tom is my silent but deadly player of the game this last week. Rookie Zach Tom, first start, in for David Bakhtiari. Just keep him in there, but maybe flip him to the right side and put Yash where he's better at left tackle. That's the only change. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that is what they need to do. Switch it.
And what's
at right tackle, put Yash at left tackle. We're good.
Now, Ben, everyone's saying there's no chance against the Bills. Zero chance. Now, that's probably...
It's weird that you say zero chance, because there's a guy that we know as zero Fs.
What, tell people what zero says. What does zero say?
Zero Fs. Zero is a guy we've known for years on our... He says stuff on our show. He's always there for us. He's a great guy. He also hates Rodgers like I do. And usually he's kind of down in the dumps or he says crazy stuff, but he's lost his mind. He's saying Green Bay is going to win 27-26 over Buffalo on Sunday night. This is the same guy who has zero confidence and half the time he's complaining the guys stink. I think Zero has finally lost his mind. Or maybe he's onto something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I hope so.
Maybe he knows something we all don't. Maybe he foresees.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Maybe he foresees a culture shift thanks to Dallin Levitt.
Maybe that was a spark.
But number
maybe
one.
Rasul will carry the flame.
How about this? Out of this game, what do you most want to see that's different in this game from what we've seen the last few weeks?
I'm hoping Christian Watson is able to play. And at least be on the field. And I'd like to see them use him, of course, but also just stretch the field. Put some fear in the Bills, okay? Take a shot with him right away. If he catches it, thank God. If he doesn't, you know, whatever. But at least they know that we're going to take some shots. And then no more of the two-yard passes or the passes behind the line of scrimmage and running out of the shotgun and the zone run/run solution. I hate those plays. They're boring. They suck. They're not fun to watch. And it sucks.
And let's be honest. The run solution hasn't been much of a solution this whole season, has it? But
I do like the little flip to Aaron Jones out of shotgun. Yeah. That play worked every time. And then
Aaron Rodgers likes it too because he can back up and then get credit for passing yards. We're wrapping up the show. We got 40 seconds left. I want to say one thing that I want to see, and that is fire. I want to see I want to see some effort. And like you play hard and like you want to be there and like you're trying to win. So even if you screw up, I don't care. I want to see fire. I want to see aggressiveness. I want to see something in this team that they want to play football. We'll see what they do. Thanks for listening tonight. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you, everybody. Stay good. Be good. This is Packer Outright Opinions, Civic Media Network. Catch you next Friday night.